The first reading is from Exodus 12, beginning with verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall for you be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb, according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire, with unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 116. You will find it on page 272 in the front of your hymnal. Psalm 116, we'll read it responsively by half verse. I love the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication.
Because he has inclined his ear to me whenever I called upon him.
The cords of death entangled me. The grip of the grave took hold of me.
I came to grief and sorrow.
Then I called upon the name of the Lord.
O Lord, I pray you, save my life.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous.
Our God is full of compassion.
The Lord watches over the innocent.
I was brought very low, and he helped me.
Turn again to your rest, O my soul.
For the Lord has treated you well.
For you have rescued my life from death,
my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling.
I will walk in the presence of the Lord,
in the land of the living.
I believed, even when I said, I have been brought very low.
In my distress I said, no one can be trusted.
How shall I repay the Lord
for all the good things he has done for me?
I will lift up the cup of salvation
and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord
in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord
is the death of his servants.
O Lord, I am your servant.
I am your servant and the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds.
I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving
and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will fulfill my vows to the Lord
in the presence of all his people,
in the courts of the Lord's house,
in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite you to rise for the hearing of our Lord's Gospel. A reading from St. John, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not now understand, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, Not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should also do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We sing together our sermon hymn, Now Thank We All Our God, number 534. This is your thinking, wait a minute, that's a hymn that we sing at Thanksgiving time. But lest we forget, Psalm 116 was one of the Egyptian Hallels. It is a hymn or a psalm, a song of thanksgiving. And so the Hillel Psalms, the Egyptian Psalms, Psalms 113 through 118, were sung every year in commemoration with the Passover. It was on a Passover night that Jesus took the cup of salvation, the fourth cup of the Passover meal. And he said, "This is my body given for you, and this is my blood shed for you. Now thank we all our God." Psalms 113 and 114 would have been sung as a preface to the Passover meal, as God's people celebrated and remembered with thanksgiving and with praise how God had in fact seen their sorrows and afflictions while they were slaves in Egypt, and how the Lord had heard their pleas and their cries, had answered their prayers, and had delivered them through Moses. 10 plagues, the final plague, the angel of death. They would have remembered all of this as they sang and as they celebrated. And then at the end of the meal, they would have sung together the Egyptian Hallels, numbers 115, 116, 117, and 118. Dear friends in Christ, Psalm 116 is before us tonight, and throughout the season of Lent, we've been looking at, we've been praying over, and singing the Psalms. And so tonight, we look at Psalm 116, and we look at what the psalmist says when he says, "I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord." To lift up the cup of salvation, the fourth cup of the Passover meal, was to raise a toast. So if you've ever been to a celebration when someone says, "Let's raise our glasses," the cup of thanksgiving, the cup of salvation, and "Let's call on the name of the Lord." We do that in prayer and in praise and in thanksgiving. "I love the Lord." That's how Psalm 116 begins. "I love the Lord because." You see, it's an opportunity for testimony. And what we see in Psalm 116 is it's really two parts. The first part is about witness and testimony, evangelism. And the second part is about stewardship. What shall I render to the Lord for all his blessings, his goodness and kindness, his bountifulness to me? Evangelism, stewardship, from witness and testimony within God's people, the assembly of believers who have gathered for worship, and then the offering of hymns of praise to our deliverer. We dial up God, and God promises to hear us. "The Lord has heard my voice and my pleading for mercy," is what the psalmist says. It's not like talking to a brick wall, which it can be sometimes when parents are trying to talk to their kids or we're trying to talk to somebody and get their attention. No, when we pray to God, it's not like talking to a brick wall. God hears, God answers, God delivers. That's why the Egyptian Hallels were sung and prayed year after year as they remembered, as God commanded them, the Passover. Jesus Christ, the Passover Lamb, whose blood covers us and delivers us. When I was a student at Concordia College in Moorhead, Minnesota, I had an opportunity to preach at chapel, and already then the Lord had put a song in my heart. And so at that particular service of worship, when I was preaching at chapel, I sang a song that included these words, and maybe you recognize them. "I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word." That song like "Now thank we all our God," reflects the message, the testimony and the stewardship, the evangelism and the offering, the lifting up of the cup of salvation that we see and sing about in Psalm 116. The other day, I crossed paths with a friend of mine, not a member of our congregation, but a brother in the Lord. And interestingly enough, we began to share our testimonies. In other words, I've got a story. You've got a story. We've all got a story, and that story, according to Psalm 116, needs to be shared. So he began by saying, you know, there's a lot of things in life that comes our way. There's a lot of sufferings that we endure, but we cannot question God. Well, that was an interesting thought, because I've been doing a lot of praying over the Psalms during this past year. And the Psalter, the book of Psalms, is constantly shaking their fist, the psalmist is, in the face of God and asking, why? Why me? Why now? How long? The psalmist questions God. So I said, well, I think we can question God, but I don't know that it does much good. And then I said to him, in Isaiah 55, the prophet speaks on God's behalf and says, thus says the Lord, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As higher as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, says the Lord. And then I looked at this friend of mine, his name is Al, and I said, you know, Al, I said, let me tell you a story. In February, I went to Wilmington, North Carolina, on a mission trip for 8 days. I flew there. I flew out of Rochester in a blizzard, and there was delays, and there was all kinds of snow on the ground, and I was on waiting to take off for like an hour and a half, 2 hours on the plane here in Rochester, and I didn't know if I'd make my connecting flight, but I did, and I got there, and I had beautiful weather and a wonderful experience for 8 days. And I said, then I was flying back home, and the flights got delayed again, because there was another snowstorm. I said, the day that I flew out of Rochester, I had to shovel and blow snow. And the night that I flew back into Rochester, I had to shovel and blow snow. The day that I left Wilmington was a day that it was raining and drizzling and gloomy and droopy. It was, well, to quote a phrase, it was a miserable day. Or so I thought. And then as I gave my testimony, much like Psalm 116 does, I said, but the plane took off. And it went up through the clouds, and I couldn't see anything. And then we went through the clouds. It was like God exploded the clouds. And you know what I saw? God gave me new eyes. God helped me to see something I couldn't see on the ground below. Majestic blue sky and a glorious beautiful sun beaming everywhere. So I said to Al, my friend, I said, you know, I think that's the way it is. We have such a limited perspective here on earth. But God's vision, God's perspective, God's seeing is bigger and better and greater and clearer than ours. Raise your glasses. And let's give a toast to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, then Al shared his testimony with me, because that's what we do. We share our testimonies with one another. He said, I want to tell you my story. A number of years ago, my wife and I got together with another couple, dear friends, and we decided to do this big trip, this expensive trip, over to Moscow, over to Russia, St. Petersburg. It was non-refundable. A month before we were supposed to leave, my mother-in-law, my wife's mother, they're like this. They were like this. She got deathly sick. And so my wife took care of her, all kinds of medical appointments. And one day before we were supposed to depart, she died. So we didn't go on the trip. We took care of the arrangements that we needed to take care of. And then about a week and a half, 2 weeks after that,
We looked at each other and we said, you know, we could still take another flight. We could get over there and catch up for the second half of this trip with our friends. So they went to the airport deciding to do this. Well, at the airport, Elle says, my wife, tired and exhausted, looked at me and said, I'm not sure that we should even be going. She was on the verge of tears. If you've been tired, you know what that's like. Or to quote our psalm for tonight, the snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me, I suffered distress and anguish. I mean, that's like having one of those snakes wrapped around you and choking the very life out of you. It's like having a noose around your neck, and the more you struggle, the tighter it gets. I'm not sure we should even be going, she said. My wife, Elle said, was almost in tears. And then the attendant at the counter called our name. Will you please come up here? We thought, what now? They went up there, and the flight attendant said, we're going to have to change your seats. We're going to put you both in first class. Is that okay? Flying all the way from Minnesota to Moscow? First class. Elle said my wife couldn't contain it anymore. She just burst out weeping, tired and exhausted, shedding those tears. And we flew all the way to Moscow in first class. You see, the Lord knows exactly what we need. The Lord is not a brick wall when we pray to Him. He hears, He answers, He provides, He is generous. I love the Lord, the psalmist says, because He has heard my voice and my pleading for mercy. And so we raise our cup of salvation and give a toast this night, this Maundy Thursday, to Almighty God. Six Egyptian hallels sung every year in remembrance of captivity in Egypt, the 10 plagues, the angel of death, the lamb's blood, the great escape, the pathway through the Red Sea, the 40 years of wandering, and then entrance through the gateway of God, the Jordan River, into the Promised Land. Every year they remembered and they celebrated. With Moses and Miriam, they sang. You know this song from the book of Exodus. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, has now become my victory. The Lord is God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Jesus and His disciples, on the night that He washed the disciples' feet, on the night that He shared the Passover meal, on the night when He said, this cup, the fourth cup, the cup of salvation, is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me. And they sang with Moses, and they sang with Miriam, and they sang, now thank we all our God, and they sang through it all. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Look at me, the psalmist says. I was on death road. I had absolutely no hope. Everyone wrote me off as a goner. And what did the Lord do? The psalmist, Psalm 116, says, the Lord delivered me. Imagine that. Nobody could believe it. The Lord delivered me, he said. He delivered my soul from death. He delivered my eyes from tears. He delivered my feet from stumbling. That's what the psalmist says. And then he says, so what shall I render to the Lord for all of His goodness to me? You see, truth be told, there's nothing that any of us can give that can pay God back the debt we owe. God is so amazingly good to us when He gives His only Son to die for us that we can't repay. We can only do, as Psalm 116 says, give our testimony, tell our story, and to render unto God the cup of thanksgiving, and to offer to Him our time, our talents, and our treasures to His praise and His glory. Raise your glasses, give a toast to God on Maundy Thursday. Well, I remember a story. It was about an Indian chief, a Native American, who by the work of a missionary was converted to the Christian faith. He became a follower of Jesus. And then they said, "So, what is it that makes you so happy? I mean, you're so full of the love of the Lord." He said, "Let me tell you why I love the Lord. I love the Lord because. I love the Lord because." And then he used, like Jesus did on the night of his betrayal, he used an enacted parable. He used an illustration. And so he took some leaves and some twigs and he made a little pile in a circle, some grass. And then he found a worm and put it right in the middle. And then he took a match and lit it, and it started to, the flame was building and building. And that poor little worm was scurrying around trying to find a way of escape, and there was no way out. And then at the very last minute, before that worm was consumed in the flames, that Indian chief reached down and lifted that worm out of the fire. And then he finally spoke, this Indian chief. He said, "I was that worm. And Jesus lifted me out of death, the pangs of death that had their tentacles around my neck. I was a goner, and only divine intervention would save me." A close call in dire straits, a near-death experience. This psalmist that we hear about tonight, his testimony, he knew he was a goner. When I was a pastor up in Little Falls, there was a gal, she didn't come to church much, maybe once every year or two, but you still minister to people, even if they don't come to church. And so I got a phone call that they had a farm, they raised chickens, and there'd been a house fire. So I went out there, and most of the house was gone, terribly charred. I went out into the barn area where the chickens were, and I looked for Kathy, and she was there, and her hands were all bandaged up. And she said, "I need to tell you what happened. You know, my husband's always been after me saying, you know, you love those candles too much. You got to be careful. Candles are dangerous." Well, I had about a dozen of those candles that were lit, and they had such a beautiful, pleasant aroma. "I love candles, Pastor Dave." That's what she told me. She said, and then all of a sudden, the phone rang. I got distracted. I was on the phone. I looked, and here was the doily where one of the candles was. It was on fire. I panicked. I tried to put it out, and then suddenly it got on the drape, and it went up. The curtains were on fire. The wall was on fire. I took a towel. I tried to put it out. I burned my hands badly. And before I knew it, I thought, "I got to get out of here." And she got out, but they lost most of their house. She said, "You know, Pastor Dave, my hands will heal, and all this stuff is just stuff. It can be replaced. But my husband is going to be so mad at me because he told me to watch out for those candles." Well, you know what the husband said? The husband said to his wife, Kathy, "Don't worry about anything. The important thing is that your hands will heal and that you're safe." That's all that mattered, is that she was safe. Well, probably a couple years after that, all of a sudden, Kathy, she showed back in church with her mother. And they caught me before worship, and Kathy said, "Can you pray for my nephew? It's my mom's grandson. He's only 5 years old. He's just been diagnosed with cancer, terminal cancer. The doctors can't do anything. Will you please pray for him?" And we did. Every day we prayed for him. We prayed every week in church, and every week there was Kathy and her mother in church. Well, then it happened. The doctor's report came. and there was no cancer. And the doctors couldn't explain it. They couldn't understand it. It was a miracle. Lift up your cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. Well, then it happened. Kathy and her mother stopped coming to church. The psalmist asked an important question. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? The redeemed? They've been delivered from death. Their eyes, the tears, have been delivered. And their feet, the stumbling, delivered. What shall I render for all of God's bounty and blessings to me? We love, St. John says, because God first loves us. This is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and gave his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. I love the Lord because on the night in which he was betrayed, he took the cup of salvation and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. I love the Lord because on the night he was betrayed, he washed those stinking feet of his disciples. And when Peter resisted, he said, if I don't wash you, you're not going to be saved. And Peter says, well, then wash me from head to toe. And Jesus says, well, you're already clean because of my word that I've spoken to you. Absolution. But not all of you are clean. Because Jesus knew who it was that was going to betray him. A new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. And so we sing with the psalmist, I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. I love the Lord because, the psalmist says, permit me to tell you and to show you. I love the Lord because, permit me to tell you and to show you. We raise our glasses and we offer a toast to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.